Good morning, everyone. It's 8:30. I'll call this meeting to order. We'll start with roll call. Trish.
Trish King, present.
David Jordan, present.
Lisa Summers, present.
Kirby Cox, Cox, present.
Oops.
Kirby and Lisa, present. DeHasse, present.
Brandon Stevens, present.
Daniel Guzman King, present.
Ernie Stevens, present.
Jenny Webster, present.
All right. Thank you, everyone. I'll start with the opening this morning. Daunagun Jokwa, Swudensioste, Jitnate, Ohundug, and Hela Dungsla. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, and Guatnigola Daitino Eladu, Nain, Nukinua, Ohunjage, G Sego, Inadiwan, Dito Hari, Datu, and Duhak in Guatnigol. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, and Guatnigola Daitino Eladu, Nain, Onegano Sogu, G Sego, Inadiwan, Dito Hari, Datu, and Duhak in Guatnigol. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, and Guatnigola Daitino Eladu, Nain, Onegli Suha, G Sego, Inadiwan, Dito Hari, Datu, and Duhak in Guatnigol. Aguegos kaji, dwahwe nuni, and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain gahiundis awahit, g sego inaliwan dedo hadi datun and duhak in guatnigul. Aguegos kaji, dwahwe nuni, and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain onunquatogu, g sego inaliwan dedo hadi datun and duhak in guatnigul. Aguegos kaji, dwahwe nuni, and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain oyunqua u. G sego in aliwan diero hari datun and duha king guatnigol. Aguegos kaji, dwahwe nuni and guatnigola daitino eladu, nain asanate gunahundele, g sego, yonadliwan diero hari datun and duha king guatnigol. Aguegos kaji, dwahwe nuni and guatnigola daitino eladu, nain galunda suha, g sego, yonadliwan diero hari datun and duha king guatnigol. Aguegos kaji, dwahwe nuni and guatnigola daitino eladu, Nain Gundilio Suha, G Sego in Aliwan, Diero Hari Datun and Duhak in Guatnigol. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigola Daitino Eladu, Nain Gunjokwa, G Sego in Aliwan, Diero Hari Datun and Duhak in Guatnigol. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigola Daitino Eladu, Nain Ojita Suha, G Sego in Aliwan, Diero Hari Datun and Duhak in Guatnigol. Aguegos kaji, dwahwe nuni, and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain oela suha, g sego inaliwan diero hari, datun and duhak in guatnigol. Aguegos kaji, dwahwe nuni, and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain ladisa gayontese, g sego, lonadliwan diero hari, datun and duhak in guatnigol. Aguegos kaji, dwahwe nuni, and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain Yoji Stokwalu, G Sego in Aliwan Diero Hari Datun and Duha King Guatnigol. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Yodahalo Sunqua Jiha, G Sego, Lonadliwan Diero Hari Datun and Duha King Guatnigol. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Yunki Sota, Weh Nidale, Nain Yunki Nugula Dari Datun and Duha King Guatnigol. Aguegos kaji dwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain gai niungwedage, g sego inaliwan diero hari datun and duhak in guatnigol. Aguegos kaji dwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain scanadalio, g sego inaliwan diero hari datun and duhak in guatnigol. Aguegos kaji dwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, Nain Sunquai Disu, G Sego in Aliwan Diero Hari Datun and Duha King Guatnigol. Dani. All right, next up we have special recognitions, years of service. Geraldine.
I'm a little clumsy today. Today we're going to recognize the employees for their years of service who have 25 years or more. So some of the things that occurred back in 1989, when some of you had started, was Percy Paulus was the chairman. Some of the movies that came out during that time was National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and The Little Mermaid. Some popular music was Bobby Brown, Mike Prerogative, Madonna, Like a Prayer. In 1994, Debbie Dockstader was the chair. Bill Clinton was the president. Some of the movies was Forrest Gump, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. I can see some of you reminiscing already. Some of the music, All for One, I Swear, and Aerosmith Crazy. Some of the things that occurred in Oneida: in 1994, the Little Bear Development Center was opened. In September of 1994, the Oneida Nation Elementary School has its first day of school at the Turtle School. And in July of 1994, we purchased 2,300 trees and 30-acre apple orchard. So those are some of the events that occurred when some of you started to work for the Oneida Nation. So with that, we'll start out with our first recipient is Karen Cruz with 30 years of service.
It's a great honor to be able to recognize Karen on her 30th anniversary with the tribe. For each day of the 30 years she's been here, she's shown both her expertise and her experience every single day in her duties. But more importantly is her dedication and the caring she's shown, and it's earned her the reputation of being both respected and trusted by everybody she's ever worked with throughout those 30 years. But more importantly is the lives of the residents and the families and the community members that she's positively touched over those 30 years. She's been known to be there whenever anybody, be it a staff member or a resident or a community member or a family member, needed anything. And we're very proud of her, and we're very happy she's on the staff. We're extremely fortunate to have her, and we're really hoping she's not thinking about early retirement.
Congratulations.
Next, we have Erwin Jordan with 30 years of service.
So on behalf of the Internal Security Department, our Oneida leaders and Oneida Nation, we'd like to thank you for your 30 years of service. Our mission within the security department is to provide safety and to protect the employees, patrons, assets, and integrity of the casino. And your contributions, your commitment, and your dedication to the department and nation has allowed us to move forward as a department and as a nation. So today we'd like to honor you for your commitment, your contributions, and we'd like to thank you.
Next, we have Cheryl DeJardin with 25 years of service.
Cheryl currently works in the accounts receivable department. She's an accounting assistant. When she started back in 94-ish, I'm not good with numbers, sorry. She started in the purchasing department, and she was there for a couple of years, and then eventually went on to work in the FSD department, and that's a department that ended up implementing our Infinium software. After that wasn't around anymore because the software was fully implemented, everybody was trained, then Cheryl ended up transferring back to accounts payable, and now she's still in accounts receivable and doing collections, so I'm sure some people may have heard from her. And she also does like all of our daily receipting and all of the data entry for all of the accounts receivable for the entire nation. Her extensive knowledge in accounts and accounting makes her a valuable resource because she's been in accounts payable, accounts receivable. She's been in a lot of departments. She's been in purchasing. So she always makes a very good team member, and she you can always count on her to put a smile on your face with her quick wit and her fun personality. Thank you.
Next, we have Michelle Klarkowski with 25 years of service.
So this is going to be a little bit more personal than most of the speeches that everybody has been giving. And the reason is because I've worked with Michelle since 2001. Prior to 2001, though, Michelle worked in our cage or in our cage area on the gaming floor. So she was at the inception of the new casino when we opened that. Soon after that, she became responsible for all of the money that came through the casino. She was our cage vault manager. And she reminds me that every day that she did it by herself, and now we have three managers. So, but I worked with Michelle starting in 2001. We were colleagues for 8 years. We worked side by side every single day together. The respect I have for Michelle will never, she'll never know the respect I have for her. I've learned more from Michelle than anybody in this tribe has ever taught me. She taught me how to be a person, how to work hard, how to do a good job at things, how to be detailed, how to understand. All those things I appreciate. Again, she'll never know. I'm not very sympathetic. She knows that. I'm not very emotional, except for right now. But I am so proud of everything that she has contributed to our organization. She is an employee that I would work with every single day of my life. Her dedication, her work ethic, her integrity, and just the fact that she always wants to do the right thing for the Oneida Casino as well as the tribe. She's never deviated away from that. And what I want to say is, personally, Michelle, thank you for all your work, for all your dedication, and teaching me a lot of stuff. I appreciate it. And more importantly, the tribe should be really proud that they have an asset like Michelle to carry out the duties that we do at the Oneida Casino. So congratulations.
Next, we have Mary King with 25 years of service. Jesse Bickle is unable to make it. He has 25 years of service. Rebecca Camps, 25 years of service. Robert Matthews.
Robert has provided 25 years of continuous service to the Oneida Casino. He's currently the pit manager at in the table games department. He is a great asset to the department. He is someone you can depend on to put a smile on your face with his kind, outgoing, and silly ways. He is always willing to go out of his way to help when needed. He is a great boss because he truly cares about the employees. He takes time to listen to his employees and is empathetic to their needs. We are lucky to have you on our team. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you.
Next, we have Pam Schrader with 25 years of service. No. Lizanne Silva. Lizanne. Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
I got yelled at the first time I said it too. Lizanne is currently a dealer in the table games department. She always has a warm, contagious smile to greet her customers with and a friendly hello. She keeps the customers happy with her easygoing personality and friendly conversation. Lizanne is well-liked by her fellow employees and has made many lifetime friends. Thank you for your continuous service.
Next, we have Fong Tao. No. Melody Thornton with 25 years of service.
And Chad got me all teary. What a speech. know how I follow that. But, that was nice. So I would just like to say good morning, and this is Melanie Thornton. Melanie Thornton is with the Food and Beverage Department. She has been here as long as I have. She started a little bit before myself, so I have worked right alongside her. She has reminded me this morning that she was pregnant when she started with us, so she has a full-grown adult now that could come to work with us. But I really want to say that, you know, as an employer, we're always looking for people who are dedicated, who go out of their way to help us, and that is Melanie. Melanie has, I can't even tell you, she has switched her schedule. She comes in on days off. She takes public transportation to get here. If she can't get a ride, it's not, I can't get a ride because my car won't start. It's, I'll be there. I just might be a little late. I got to take a bus. But she is really, being late is very, I don't even know, hardly ever. But she is a wonderful employee, and we're very happy to have her. She works at the IMAC, works with many of our guests. She's worked many shifts but has settled in at IMAC. And so I'm very just happy to have her on our team and working for the Oneida Nation and the tribe in a very positive manner. And she comes to work and shares that with everyone. So thank you, Melanie, for all you do.
Thank you. Next, we have Tracy Cordova with 25 years of service.
I'd also like to say I never thought Chad Foose would make me have a tear come out of my eye, but today he did. But we're here. I'm here today to talk about Tracy, and I wrote a little short story, so you can settle in. Tracy Cordova currently serves as the Personnel Services Manager within the Employee Services Department in Gaming. She obtained a Bachelor of Arts Management and Communication degree from Concordia University in 2006 and earned a Master of Science Management degree from Cardinal Stritch University in 2011. In 2018, she achieved an Education Specialist degree in Adult Education from Walden University. Tracy served in a variety of positions during her 25-year career at the Oneida Nation. She served as a recreation specialist, senior accounting assistant, assistant bingo director, organizational development specialist for the Oneida Business Committee, and presently serves as a personnel services manager. She will be assuming the duties of her new position at Gaming as organizational development specialist in the near future. She has benefited a great deal from her career path. Her previous experience brings much knowledge to her skills in handling people and situations. She is known for her calm demeanor, leadership skills, the ability to always keep a positive attitude, and getting the job done right the first time. Tracy is a great asset to the Employee Services Department and does a wonderful job in all her work assignments. She's a highly valued member of the Employee Services team.
Next, we have Angela Parks with 25 years of service. Okay, those who chose not to attend, but we'll still recognize them, is Scott Cottrell with 35 years of service, Lori Thomas, 30 years of service, Clyde Skenador, 25 years of service, Eric Denny, 25, Murray Wazarek, 25, and Debbie Melchert, 25. So let's give all these employees a round of applause for their time and dedication to the Oneida Nation. Thank you. I'll just go through the line.
Awesome. Tracy must have got Jackie Smith's job then at... that she's... Yeah.
Have you been down with the cook mask? And he's like, no, he's down here? I was like, yeah. I was like, hey. And then I started tagging him and stuff. Then they met up.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, yeah. And then they went on like this fishing excursion. It was just kind of cool.
Yeah. I wanted to ask him because I think I didn't see the person doing that. I think that's the same. Maybe the same exact place where your sister got married.
It's just noting the difference because we're having exec today.
Okay.
I'd just like to take the time also to congratulate all the recipients for the years of service. It's always a fun ordeal having the employees recognized for the years of service and commitment to the Oneida Nation. Today there was a combined total of 525 years of service recognized in today's ceremony this morning. So again, congratulations to all the employees, and we thank them from Oneida Nation to you for your continued dedication and service. Thank you. All right, looking for a motion to go in executive session at 8:54. Oh, shoot, that's right. We're looking for a motion to adopt the agenda. Secretary, is there any changes to the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there are a couple of identified clarifications to the agenda. Both of them are in executive session under D, new business. Item number three, the titles, items number three and four had the titles cut off inadvertently during the processing of the agenda. So item three should read Oneida Nation Veterans Affairs Committee in its total title. And item number four should read Oneida Personnel Commission. Other than that, there are no additional deletions, corrections, or additions. So with that, I'll make a motion to the adopt today's agenda as noted with corrections.
Second with
quick discussion. All right, motion by Lisa, second by Ernie. Discussion, Ernie.
Just wanted to, if I may, to take a brief moment to congratulate you, Mr. Chair, on your fine word yesterday, and thank you for representing us very well. Just to say that publicly, I know we were all there, we all enjoyed it. But anyone who's watching this public document, I hope that they are able to see it. I know they can view it WisconsinEye.com, I believe. So if you're watching this, please go view that. It was a very important speech and very pertinent to the matters that we are doing during this term, and I think for a long time to come. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my honor, and it was a very fun experience, a little bit stressful, but I had a lot of great people behind me supporting and making sure that the work got done, and the organization of the events before and after, everything went off without a hitch. So I commend the staff. They did a very good job in making sure they made me look good. So I thank them all. Without further ado, we'll vote on the motion to adopt the agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. A motion to go into executive at 8:56 would be in order.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Looking for a motion to come out of executive session.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. We're now out of executive session. The next item is the minutes of March 27th. Motion by Jenny, is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by David. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item, appointments. Determine next steps regarding one vacancy with term ending December 31st, 2022 for the Oneida Veterans Affairs Committee. But these we haven't had a chance to review it, so we'll come back to these items. The next standing committees is the Finance Committee. There's the approval of the April 8th, 2019 regular Finance Committee meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Same thing.
Two abstentions, Lisa and Jenny.
Mr. Chairman?
Lisa?
I'll just note for the record that I'm abstaining because this item was a handout and I have not had a chance to thoroughly review the information that's provided to us.
Okay. Trish?
Just a note for the record, probably should have stated this in the beginning. It was a handout because we had our meeting had to be rescheduled last week from our standard meeting. So unfortunately, we had to.
And that's fine. I just.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not reading the whole thing right now. So I'm going to vote on it.
All right. Thank you for the two notes for the record. Next item. Our motion passes. I don't know if I called that or not. Two abstentions. Next up, unfinished business. Will you approve the Oneida Police Commission bylaws?
Make a motion to defer.
To second. To when?
To the work meeting.
Oh.
Or the LOC.
Yep. All right. There's a motion by David, second by Lisa, to defer this item to the LOC.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item B, fiscal year 2020 trade back for cash follow-up. There's a couple of different items here, except the fiscal impact statement regarding fiscal year 2020 trade back for cash.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. Discussion? Lisa?
I just want to say to the finance, thank you for putting together the information. That's what we were. That's what I was looking for, to make sure that when we take our next step that we can have something to refer to and communicate. So thank you for putting it together.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item under trade back, adopt resolution entitled No Trade Back Cash for Fiscal Year 2020.
So moved.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second for discussion.
All right. Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. Discussion? David?
There was just some clarification in the that there are some clerical errors that were submitted, and then they were added to the final draft. I guess I would like to just have a discussion on that, on lines number 21, the whereas.
What page are you on?
And line 35, 41, page 41.
31, okay. 41, line 35. Okay.
Just wondering if that needs to be reversed. It sounds like there's revenues exceed and.
Nope, I'm not on the same.
He's on 21.
On page 41.
Page 41.
Line 21.
Line 21 is blank.
22. Next, okay. Whereas where it starts.
41.
Yes.
It says the proposed revenues are exceeded by proposed expenses by approximately $25 million budget gap. So that's correct.
So this is where I think the financial impact and this do not appear to be the same.
In my opinion, an incorrect statement.
Correct.
Yes, so the correct number is. Larry.
The correct number is, Larry, it's the 18.
At this point, for the 20 forecast, it's approximately 18 million.
You need to get on the record.
Okay, the budget revenue six.
I would reference the 2020 first preliminary roll-up. It's not, the full roll-up is 18 million, rounded, in terms of fiscal gap. I think that's a plausible, credible number at this juncture. So I'd reference that. The look back in 19 at this point is passe. So 20, we've got a forecast of 18 million. I'd benchmark that, and it should be referenced that revenues, should say expenses exceed revenues by 18 million. And that's a fair statement, an accurate statement.
I did it backwards. Yep. I don't know what I was thinking.
And then I have another change on line number 26. Result approval. Hopefully, maybe it could be changed to result of the approval. And then on line 30. Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, so line 24 will be approximately 18 million. And then your next one, David?
On line 26, it says result approval. It should be result of the approval.
27.
Line 27.
Okay.
And then on the second from the last, whereas, seeing how your numbers are different than mine, it says trade back for Chase. It should be cash. Okay. And then on the last one, now therefore be it resolved, it points out the section, but it doesn't have the letter A in front of it. It says four or one V or IV five. It should be a letter A in front of that.
That's a capital letter?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
Larry, those numbers based on your financial opinion in the second, lines 35, 36, an expense of 1.7 million to 3.4. Those are correct. Okay.
Lisa?
Just one more quick one, Joanne. If we can get a final memo from you. The
the one for dated March 27th. Item number one, no trade back for cash for FY 2020. That one also says case.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that typographical error.
You don't want a finalized one?
No, I'm cool. Okay. It makes me human, and I.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
Yep.
And just on line 35, 36, at the end of the sentence, there's usually an and.
True. All righty.
And line 39.
And,
Needs an and.
Can't be an and because we're going into the action.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So that one.
That needs a period?
That's good.
That one needs a period then?
No.
There's a comma there.
Nice try, though.
I'll change my motion then.
Okay, I will email this revised version to Lisa.
For the record. Okay.
Tahasi, can I change my email Jenny? Then? Or change my
motion? Amend your motion
with
to
changes.
Approve as corrected?
As corrected.
Seconder concurs.
All right. Any further discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you. The third item under trade back, determine next steps regarding GTC resolution entitled Amending Personal Policies and Procedures to Delete Section 4A5N regarding trade back for cash. Lisa?
For this one, Joanne, can we have this one updated, though? Because this one will be used as backup.
Yes. This one cannot go to the General and Tribal Council until it's gone through the Legislative Procedures Act processes. So my recommendation to the business committee would be a motion to send this to the LOC to complete the appropriate legislative processes.
Yeah. But we can accept the direction of doing it, though, correct? Just going through the process? We just need to send it through?
Yes.
Okay.
You need to move it from this agenda to there. It's not on their agenda other than the statement of effect.
Right.
And then they'll update all the numbers and information in there.
Okay. But, again, for this one, you have case instead of cash. So in your memo to us for this one as well?
Yes.
Yes, on page 44.
I'm cool with that.
No,
again,
not
human.
This one.
This memo isn't going to go to GTC.
Okay.
This one's
this
going
is
to
the one we just record. Need to go to. Okay.
To the LOC.
All right. Just giving you an opportunity to correct it officially.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't recall if there's a motion or a second to determine next steps. Okay. So that would be the requested action is to for this item to the Legislative Operating Committee to go through the legislative process for processing.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. We're moving on to travel requests. The first item under travel request, approve a travel request for Secretary Summers to the Wisconsin Indian Education Association 2019 conference in Wisconsin Rapids, April 25th through the 27th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby.
Jenny.
There's discussion,
Lisa.
Are we
all tired?
I know, right? Like, what's going on here? I would like for somebody to also be on deck for this one, just in case something comes up, because this is an important one. That this is the one that we've been promoting at the state level. We do have some indication, and again, this was part of the address yesterday. We do have some indication from the lobbyists that there is the person who is the chair in the education area in the subcommittee of the legislature that is having a a little bit of a pushback on these, and we're working on making sure that this one person doesn't try to hold this up. So just in case, if we can have one person be a backup for this, in case something comes up and I can't be there, it would be a joint presentation with Chairman Bisa or Representative Bisaw from Menominee. Brandon usually has been the one kind of stepping in on these, so I would recommend that he be the backup if he agrees.
Sure.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I was in the beginning of Act 31, too, in the beginning, so I'd be comfortable doing it instead if something comes up.
Yeah. I just want to make sure we're prepared.
I'm okay with adding Brandon.
Thank you.
Second concurs.
All right, any further discussion on the travel request? See none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, approved travel request for Secretary Summers to the Tribal Hub 2019 Midwest Region event at Prior Lake, Minnesota, May 15th through the 17th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by David. Discussion? Lisa?
I just want the committee to know that I'm working with Melinda, the IGAC director, on this. To make sure that we're collecting appropriate or sharing or gathering what we need. Mostly my participation in this one is regarding to the social media website aspect of it, which the secretary has a responsibility for in the law. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody understands that that's kind of the focus for this one.
All right, any further discussion on the request? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item C, approved travel request for Secretary Summers to the 2019 Nation Congress, the National Congress of American Indians Midwest Conference and Marketplace in Sparks, Nevada, June 23rd through the 28th.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask for the motioner and the seconder to approve up to 4 business committee members to attend this. So 3 in addition to myself.
And how does that work with the notice for exception?
Right now, what we've been doing has been just approving the number, and then we work it out amongst ourselves who goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, again, based on our discussion about having that presence with all the things at the table, is that we need to have some more people. So I would just ask for up to 4 if you're comfortable.
I'm comfortable with that. Just wondering on the date, is that a BC week?
Yeah.
That's my only concern, to make sure that we have our scheduling intact, that it would not interfere with our agenda.
6th, 24th through the 27th.
I will check right now. Sure. I didn't look.
Ernie?
Lisa, is there an agenda for this yet?
There is. It's attached.
I mean, something more specific?
No, that's what's out there right now.
Okay. That's what I found as well. I would like to be considered... I have to look at some details. There was some discussion on Monday at the Energy MTERRA discussion about people attending this. I'm very interested in joining the DOE's Energy Working Group and getting Oneida as a member tribe, as a part of that organization. So this may be a place to do that. So if it is, I would definitely be looking to attend, just the FYI, and as well as and/or the Climate Change Working Group. Among tribes, so just FYI.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a recommendation to have 3, including Lisa and Ernie, and then one more, whoever would like to decide to go later on after we approve this. I'll just list those 2 in the motion at this time, and then add one more.
So you're going back to 3?
Back to 3, yeah. Just because, so that we make sure we have coverage in case there's an emergency or a funeral or something that comes up back home here for a
seconder. Kirby, you concur?
Yep.
With 3. All right. Brandon?
Yeah, I don't need it in the motion, but I'd recommend chairman or myself be one of those, that third person, but I don't need to be in the motion. We'll figure out the schedule.
I'll let you guys decide that later.
Okay. All right, any further discussion on the travel for NCAI approval? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item D, approved travel request in accordance with 216.16-1 for Comprehensive Health Staff National Tribal Public Health Summit in Albuquerque, New Mexico, May 13th through the 15th, 2019.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. Discussion? Lisa?
Mike, I think we need to move this subject to the, not the subject of the travel. I'm okay with the travel. We continue, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Eric, Jeff is in the environmental area still, correct? So the policy talks about four or more from any one area, but this is people from different areas, but it's coming out of the same account code. So I'm assuming that's why it's here, but we never really, we've had a couple of incidences now like this where it's been people from different departments, but from a same account code. So the request has been coming here, but we never clarified if that was actually necessary. So I would like for us to just have that follow-up conversation with whomever we need to make it clear. This might be one of the things that we can assign to the new general manager to help us provide that clarification so that if it's, it may have not been necessary to come to this agenda. So that's just one of the things I'd like to get completed.
All right, so there's a motion by Lisa, second by Jenny. Did you want to make that a subsequent motion? Okay. All right, we'll vote on the first motion to approve for staff. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Lisa, for subsequent motion.
Yep. I'll make a motion to defer the question to the general manager for clarification regarding the need to come to the business committee for travel under the current travel policy regarding the number versus the line item. Does that make sense to you? Okay.
Right. Motion. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Second by Jenny. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you. Next item, E, approve the travel request in accordance with 216.16-1, 7 Oneida Nation School System staff to the BIA FACE Strive Readers Comprehensive Literacy Grant end of year training, Albuquerque, New Mexico, May 1 through the 4th, 2019. David?
Yeah, I just got a question for Sherry. I noticed it didn't meet the SOP deadline for 30 days to submit before travel with our new SOP. I know it's grant funded. There's going to be an increase in the airfare. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. It was just at the board meeting, we only found out about this on the 22nd, which was the end of spring break. So to do an e-poll the next week, it still wouldn't have met the deadline.
Okay.
And I kept telling them, you know, some tribes, some nations need more than 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, we need like 6 weeks or 2 months. And they were on site with this grant in February. And I said, do you know where the training is? Do you know? Oh, no, no, no. I said, we need advance notice. So I don't know where, but we didn't meet the deadline because of it.
Okay. I just wanted to point out that it would be, just as FYI, that.
Mm-hmm. We're always asking that question, too.
Yeah. And we'll make sure we tell them notice. That at least 2 months mm-hmm. in advance, you know, question. For us. If we get funded next year, it depends on how good we're doing. And so we have this meeting, end of year wrap up, and we're presenting what we have. Then they're expanding it, so it'll be the whole elementary. We have elementary staff involved, too. So I'm pretty excited if we do get funded for next year. And then we'll make sure we tell them we need further advance notice for training and travel.
Kirby?
I guess my question was regarding the mileage. Of 2,820 miles round trip at 1,536. Is that in here because someone's going to drive?
No. I was told that I should compare the mileage to the airfare. That was part of the SOP, I understood, or some part of.
I had asked her to put it in.
Oh, Lisa's back.
Yeah, I'm back here.
Thank you. Hi.
I asked her to put it in
known that the SOP requires airfare to be approved 30 days ahead of time, or what the difference in cost would be between the two? And understanding that notice hadn't gone out to anybody regarding this SOP yet, I did send, it was in January, I sent them a request that there were notice calls.
And I guess the reason I brought it up, I thought it is in the travel department. Should someone decide to drive, they would only be allowed the cost of the airfare.
If yeah, whatever's cheaper.
Yes.
Yeah. That's good to know.
All right, so we're still looking for action on this item. If we're going to go ahead and approve this travel for 7.
Move to approve.
All right. Motion by Jenny. Who was the seconder? Second by Lisa. Any further discussion on the travel request? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to the next items under new business. A, post one vacancy for Southeastern Wisconsin Oneida Tribal Services Advisory Board.
It's another one.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item B, determine next steps regarding request to amend resolution BC-09-2618-D. School board chair. So they're looking for the amend resolution BC-92618D, boards, committees, and commissions law, stipend to include stipend for Oneida Nation School Board's responsibilities and hiring process, i.e. the pre-screening and interviews for Oneida Nation School Board or school system personnel. Lisa?
I support the request. I do have a question, though. Most, if you look at the National School Board standards, and I don't know if we strive to meet those standards or exceed those standards or be in alignment with those standards, but if you look at them, school boards aren't typically involved with the direct hiring of staff. It's usually negotiation of the actual teacher contracts with the union. In our case, it's a little different. And then, but their only personnel involvement is usually with the superintendent of the school. So my question is, what is our standard? Is this typical? Is there a move to change that? Is this something that's going to continue to happen? Because I could see us approving this two different ways, like as a one for now until it's changed, or as a permanent thing moving forward. I'd just like to see some more clarity around this.
Lisa?
So the MOA that was adopted by the GTC between the business committee and the school board requires the board to be involved in that hiring process. My understanding is that at the time, there was no local control over who the teachers were in the school. It was all done by the federal government. So by creating the school board and having the school board involved in that hiring process, that made it under our local control. That was, of course, 35 years ago. So in the meantime, things have changed. The status of our school changed as well. So that is something that we are exploring. I'm not sure if it must have come up in some point in the past, because in 2001, I believe, there was an emergency rule issued by the business committee. It was a 6-month rule that eliminated this requirement for the board. But it never moved further than that. So I don't know what the issues were at that time that required it. That's something that I'm supportive of as a school board member and the chair to move away from being involved in the teacher hiring of teachers. I personally think that the board should only be involved in the hiring of the administrator, and then at the area manager level, if asked, for the principals.
And so that's something that we're discussing. We did ask our attorney to provide exactly what you're asking for, a review of what the standard is for Indian schools, why or why not we would be involved in hiring, so that we could make an informed decision on how to approach this going forward. I did speak with chief counsel about the process. We would have to go to general tribal counsel to do it, and we just need to do a little homework to get that to put together, if that's what the board decides to do as a body. Mm-hmm. So it's in discussions.
All right, David?
Would this have to open up the board's committees and commissions law?
My understanding is that the stipend resolution is separate. It's a companion to the law, and the law actually does require the business committee to review the stipend resolution periodically. So that's what I'm asking for a review to occur, so that this additional stipend can be added under, I think it's other miscellaneous stipends in the resolution.
And that's what I'm hoping. I do not want to touch the law yet, because nope. There is a backup for like a 12-month period, I believe. We're bringing it back for changes. If there could be just a resolution change, I guess that'd be the way I would look at this.
And that's all we're looking for. They've had the three board members that participated, I believe it was in February, they participated. They were like, well, we're not going to get paid. I was like, submit it so that we get an answer from the law office why you're not getting, so that we can use this for backup for now. And they're going through an interview process now where there's two. So, you know, in an ideal world, you'd approve it retroactively so that they could be paid for those ones. But understanding, you know, it's probably going to be moving forward. But, you know, it's a requirement of the MOA right now, so they just like to be compensated. And I believe it can be worded broadly enough so that if the requirement for hiring of teachers is removed, then it would still, you know, it would still apply for the hiring of the administrator or other HR functions. So.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Trish?
Just a question on if it's in line with how we do the personnel commission for their reviews.
I don't have a recommendation or anything on the amount of the stipend that's assigned. That's under the law. It's under your decision on what those amounts are and what gets inserted into the resolution. So I'm assuming that if you're sending it to the LOC to bring back a resolution, that the LRO would check into that to find out what would be the appropriate amount. Okay. Because I'm assuming that, I don't know if the personnel commission scores and all that stuff. I'm not up on that. I'm not the board's person. That's Brooke. So, but I'd assume that it's up to them. It's up to you guys what the amount is, but it would be pre-screening and the hiring processes.
Okay. Ernie?
Yeah, I think that I don't see the amount changing. I think that this particularly should be covered in the language that we're adding to a number of these committees is based on budgeted amounts. So if it's budgeted that year, there should be no issue. I think that's just my perspective from an LOC standpoint. So just to make sure that we add that to this particular one when that time comes, but I don't see the amount should change at all. It's just as long as it's budgeted, there's no issues.
We do the stipends for these functions are budgeted for. The issue is that the law restricts stipends to what is approved in the resolution that I'm asking to be amended. And the resolution that I'm asking to be amended doesn't include a stipend for the school board to perform these HR functions.
So it would be just categorized as miscellaneous according to this. Is that?
I would assume so. That's. I would rely on the LRO and the LOC to make those recommendations.
All right, Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to accept the request from the United School Board and to defer this to the Legislative Reference Office and the LOC to bring back a recommendation which would support the request to include the stipend to be approved for HR functions.
Second.
All right, motion by Lisa, seconded by Brandon. Any further discussion? Kirby?
So Would that be for a certain period of time? And I thought I heard that typically school boards don't participate in the hiring of teachers. So how long is that for? Because their staff at the school, that's their job, isn't it? So then we're going to pay board members to do staff's jobs. And they get a, they'll get paid, compensated for it when we got staff who are getting paid to do the interviews and the hiring.
Lisa?
So as Lisa explained, the MOU that's been approved by General Chapa Council between the committee and the school board requires the school board to be active in that kind of HR activity at this point, and that the school board is going to be and is started the process to review those functions and make a determination moving forward what they would be doing in the future. So they'll take care of exploring that and updating that from their perspective. It's something that will eventually would have to go back to General Tribal Council to make a change. In the meantime, what we're asking for is LOC and LRO to come back with a recommendation based on an approval of their request. So I think that if LOC provides direction to the staff to explore a specific amount of time or recommendations on the change for the MOU, okay, that would be up to LOC.
All right.
Any other discussion on this topic? Jenny?
So question then is, how do we get them paid in the meantime? Do we go back to page 94 of what it previous was, giving them a stipend of 75, and then move forward with any new interviews or anything? Would have to wait till it goes through the LOC process.
Lisa?
As the motioner, I guess my intent was to say LOC bring back a recommendation on all those topics and subjects, because their request is laid out pretty thoroughly in the packet. So I think that you would be able to, as LOC, go over some of those things and say, what do we want to include just from this point forward from the change, or do we want to be retroactive in their activities? That would be how I would, that was my intent in the motion, for you guys to do that review.
So in the meantime, these people are waiting to get paid.
They're not eligible for a payment currently, so they shouldn't technically be waiting for a payment because they're not eligible.
Okay.
But you could, LOC could make a decision to say we're going to recommend.
Okay.
All right. Any further questions on the topic?
Just David, one more clarification. If this was, these stipends were budgeted?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So they could be retro-approved.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Any further discussion on the topic? There is a motion by Lisa, seconded by Brandon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next topic is General Tribal Council. Item A, determine next steps regarding GTC resolution entitled Establishing Rule Regarding Presentations and Speakers.
As part of the process of looking at the rules of procedure in General Tribal Council meetings, I go back constantly and reread, make sure there's consistency in the rules along with the history of the General Tribal Council. One of the things that has come up is in regards to adopting the agenda. We spend a significant amount of time adopting the agenda, anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour and a half. And several folks have made the comments, why don't we just standardize this so we don't have to address it? The business committee through the LOC took this up in creating the General Tribal Council meetings policy, which would have established some rules, that was basically rejected by the General Tribal Council without discussion of that law at all. And since that time, the adoption of the agenda, number of speakers, et cetera, it's been fairly consistent, but it's something that takes away one of the opportunities in regards to the main motion, because we are limited to a main motion with two amendments. So I reviewed since 2008, which is a hard date moving forward, given the beginning of the stipend payments, because this changed the world of the General Tribal Council meetings. So I reviewed all of those minutes from 2008 until today to look at how this particular motion has been acted upon. It's fairly consistent in how they do the rule. I've included a chart for you, and I believe it is on page 103 that talks about how they've limited the presentations, how they've limited the speakers, the different ways they've talked about once per topic, or you can speak again after everyone else has speak, to give you an idea of, you know, some consistencies or inconsistencies across chairpersons, across years, across General Tribal Council meetings. So I have put together the resolution that's in your packet on pages 101 and 102, giving that history and setting the proposed rule. Now, this would supersede what's in Robert's Rules of Order, and it would standardize what our processes are in regards to the agenda and conduct within the meeting. So it would standardize that once the meeting's called to order, speakers have 3 minutes to speak, and they must do all of their activities within that 3 minutes. We don't have to have a motion regarding it. It's a foundational rule within the General Tribal Council. The second is that once the meeting's called to order, that speakers speak once per topic until everyone else has had the opportunity that desires to speak, and then they can speak again. And that once per topic means once in discussion, once after the main motion, once after each amendment. So that's four opportunities initially, plus an opportunity after everyone has gone through those individual sublists. And the last is that upon calling the meeting to order, presentations have a 15-minute limit. And these are fairly consistent interpretations. They've been accepted by the General Tribal Council, and we wouldn't have to argue over this at this point. I'm requesting the Business Committee to forward this to the Legislative Operating Committee to obtain a statement of effect and to place it on the next available General Tribal Council meeting.
All right. Discussion, Lisa?
I'm okay with processing it. I think that it's a needed discussion to get some more clarification around what it means to people when you say once per topic. I've heard on multiple occasions that that's not what people necessarily interpret it as, the way that it's laid out here. Even though that's kind of the way that we've been practicing it, I think it's been even, I get complaints from people because they don't understand that each amendment is a different topic. And so what I tell people is, if you mean agenda item, then say agenda item. Don't say topic. So the feedback that I do continue to get from individuals is that we still have the same people up there talking over and over and over again, because their understanding of once per topic really meant once per agenda item. I try to explain it to them. You know, at that point, usually after the General Tribal Council meeting or a couple days after, there's still emotions that kind of run a little bit, so it's not really a logical conversation. But I just want to raise that as a thing, because I can see why people still interpret it differently. And so what I hear is that, well, you're not following the rule anyway because you're saying once per topic, but he lets them speak, and usually that means the chair, whoever that is. He lets them speak anyway, so they're not following the rule, even though we said once.
It is a good observation, and that's one of the reasons why I've taken an explanation specifically from the minutes of a General Tribal Council meeting, and it's been mostly applied that way. The difficulty in once per topic is not identifying that they've already spoken. It's that many of those individuals are calling points of order and privileged questions. And that is causing confusion with being recognized to speak. As you may recall, one meeting there was a point of order. She's already spoken twice and going back through, you know, both of our lists. Yeah, she's spoken multiple times. She's never been recognized to speak, which is why it's important in looking at, and the chair and the vice chair have done a fantastic job of being clear. That's not a privileged question, and it's a good question. It's not a privileged question, and asking them to, you know, to move on. So, and I think it's very important to be even clearer and to take those steps and basically point out your question is equally as intriguing and as important as everybody else standing in line. It's not a privileged question, though. Please go on. So that will begin to help the members understand the difference. But it is one of the particular reasons why I placed that definition of once per topic in this resolution. So that will be clarified. If going through the legislative operating committee processes, if it is amended to something different, again, so long as it's defined, it can be consistently applied.
Lisa, all right. You have 5 minutes.
I have whole minutes. Okay.
Up to 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. Understanding that the GTC meetings law policy isn't moving forward as a whole thing, and it looks like there were two pieces of it that were moved forward with regard. I can't remember what it was. I think it was like confidentiality and something else we pushed to. That
timeline.
Timeline, yeah. There were two pieces that we kind of set aside. I think this, personally, I support this. This is a good one. I would like to see a second one to go along with it so that we're kind of moving instead of, you know, second one. And my suggestion for a second one would be to clarify what notice is, but to clarify, like, that meeting presentations need to be in the meeting packet. We're running into areas or what that means, you know. If they're going to put the documents and everything in their presentation is referenced in the meeting packet, okay. But when you come with a completely separate presentation, it happens annually with Land Commission. I know that there's been some discussions about that, and I just saw an email from Ray about it recently. But that isn't clear. You know, audit doesn't include theirs, so are they? I'm assuming they're. Would be an exception to the rule, but to clarify that so that if I win the lottery and we all, and then I give everybody that I work with money and we all get up and leave, that someone's going to understand what the rules are moving forward.
Okay, but I want it known for the record I would still work. Yeah. and she raises some very valid points. Every one of these resolutions requires me to essentially create that chart you're seeing on page 103. What is the history? What has happened? So how long General Tribal Council meetings are is a subject that's starting to be standardized, and what happens afterwards. We take that out of the adoption of the agenda process. I'm looking at what materials are in the meeting packets. As a resolution to standardize some of the things that we've said we would do to the General Tribal Council and to get that in a resolution. The other is there are three or four on my list, but I have to go back through over, I think it's 3,000 pages of minutes and transcripts to make sure that I'm getting that correct and to make sure that, you know, the backup material is there for you to see that this is how they've acted on it. So feedback on the Excel spreadsheet would be helpful. If it's not getting the information you need in there, I don't want anyone to have to go redo the research that I've done when I'm trying to make it available and upfront about where I'm pulling the information from. So, in regards to Lisa Ligon's comments, yes, they are coming forward as soon as I can get to them and as soon as I can pull them together.
Trish?
I support the endeavor and appreciate the effort to try and make change, which helps us with what our one of our goals was try to help communicate better with the membership. And putting rules forward helps us do that. But there is a typo I noticed. I don't know if there's more, but I saw this one on line 67. Limited to speaking one person per topic until all interested parties have had an opportunity to speak and make may be recognized. So I think make is
okay.
Wrong.
Daniel?
I would agree with Trish and say appreciate you bringing this forward and trying to bring some order to our meetings. but I would say that as long as we continue in our current European parliamentary style model in, of our meetings, we're going to continue to have confusion. And so it's just my opinion that we completely change our style and model of how we conduct business as a nation and look to create that cultural match and a model that is indigenous in Oneida. And so that would change everything. If, you know, and so looking at it, I guess I would... In our, with working within our current system, I would agree with this, but looking to change everything that we do to an, to have a cultural match, I would disagree with this because this wouldn't match up to our traditional ways of being. Just I think Rick Hill had he put a statement in there what Rick Hill had mentioned years ago, our former chairman. I know it's something we have been having discussions on and how to go about that. We haven't had any formal discussions on it. So I won't oppose it, but I'll probably abstain from it. But I'm looking for a cultural match and how, if we're going to make changes, let's make cultural changes that are moving us in that direction.
Thank you, Daniel. Joanne, then Ernie.
I think that that's a very important point for us to reintegrate into General Tribal Council meeting. Oneida speakers were some of the greatest orators in the world. You know, you look at all of the materials, they talk about just the how moving those speakers were. And they used the language to bring that particular point to life for individuals. And we've shifted away from that. We've moved away from that incrementally over the decades. And in general tribal council meetings today, we sometimes use the rules as a weapon rather than as a process. And when you start to use the rules as a weapon, such as call for the questions and all the points of order and privilege questions, you stop using your voice to persuade and inform. And that is something that we as a body, as a group, as a community, and as individuals need to start asking General Tribal Council to go back to that way, to encourage them. Ed Delgado, former chairman, had two great, wonderful, specific things that I always comes to mind. The first General Tribal Council meeting when he was elected chair, he put an article in the newspaper in the Galloway Sox and said, we've sent you all of the materials you need to know to be informed regarding, you know, that annual or semi-annual meeting. And we've given you ample time to do your research and have your conversations. So when we get to this meeting on this date, my expectation is to begin from that end point. And our conversation will move forward. The other is that he entreated people to speak. He wanted to hear new voices. And he, along with every chair thereafter, has said, it is wonderful to hear the youth, to hear these new voices in our meetings and to give them courage and strength to stand up and face themselves on the Jumbotron, which is not easy. It's one of the hardest things in the world, as you will have seen from my recent meltdown. So I think that that's some of the things that as business committee members, you can bring into those meetings to encourage that thoughtfulness of speech and show that appreciation of what's going on. I mean, I think that Dylan does a great job of rising above the minutia, the individualism to a community. There are other speakers. I've seen Pat Cornelius from the farm try to raise us up above that level. Individual tribal members are trying to do that. And I think encouraging that from our youth will encourage that from our middlers and our elders to participate in expressing themselves in those meetings. You're absolutely right, Daniel. I would prefer a meeting where the rules are not a weapon and they're simply a process.
Ernie?
I was going to say, yeah, I agree with what Daniel's saying and what you just said, Joanne, as well. And I think we all know this is a human behavior issue that I don't know if we can legislate it. I think, you know, these particular changes we're looking at, finalizing, we have enough behavior precedents that would just make sense, right? Why not? I think it could be supported. I think it could happen on that level. I just think that, you know, when you do this and you put a resolution on them and say, okay, now we're going to do it this way, they get apprehensive. And they say, well, we'll do it because we want to, not because you're giving us a resolution to support. So I think I'm concerned about that, and I think I've seen that. We try to do it, it makes 100% perfect sense, and just because we're handing them something to approve, they say, no, we're going to do it on our terms, not yours. So that's my concern. I have no issue with it. I think in a lot of ways we've defined these processes going back a lot of years, so I have no issue with that process, but I think the behavior issue of it is, number one, is, you know, DeHasi is doing a good job in doing that. I think if it's not broken, don't fix it. And the things that are broken, we can't change through legislation. But also that, you know, seeing how this has come about, you let it happen according to their process. You let them push it. It'll get supported. So I think it's a swinging door in that way for me, but I just feel that's going to be the response to it. If it goes through, I'll support it. But I think you've seen that when we try to put it on them, they don't want that. They want to do it in a way. And that's just my concern. But I did have one more point that I forgot. But I think we just keep that in mind. And also, other point is, I don't know how long this is going to take. I have concerns of bringing this into the LRO, LOC process, you know, because we're constantly having to do that, where we delay everything else we've been doing and we've got to handle these GTC issues. If it doesn't take long, fine. I just know that's been a stance we've taken very recently, is we got to stop doing that from our standpoint within our control and do our laws like we're supposed to. I just have issue with whether it takes 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 days. I don't want to, you know, bring this into our process. That's just my public statement.
If I could get an opinion from the legislature, I haven't asked for it, okay? If I could get an opinion from the Legislative Reference Office and the LOC that identifies that resolutions such as this are not legislation and simply require a statement of effect, it will move forward faster. I'm not going to presume that this is going to move forward, so I didn't ask for a statement of effect to get it onto this agenda. That's why it needs to go there in the beginning. I'm presuming that this is just going for a statement of effect. They'll draft it up and it'll come back here. It'll get on the next agenda rather than going through the public meeting and the comments.
All right, any further discussion on this topic? We do not have a motion on the table. We had quite lengthy discussion on this topic. So we're looking to determine next steps with this potential GTC resolution. Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to accept the GTC resolution entitled Establishing Rule Regarding Presentations and Speakers for processing a statement of effect in the Legislative Reference Office and to be placed on the next available General Tribal Council agenda for consideration.
So motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by second. Jenny, I think.
Yeah.
Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Two abstentions, Ernie and Daniel. Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, thank you all. The last item under General Tribal Council is Schedule 3, tentatively scheduled General Tribal Council meetings. Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, the Business Committee took action to adopt tentative dates for the remainders of the General Tribal Council meetings throughout this term, and the first, I believe, our annual meeting in 2021. In working with the Radisson, they did have the opportunity to book business on the dates that we had selected, so they need us to select alternative dates. Those dates are located on page 110 of the packet. So the original date for the July meeting was July 29th. They have a big conference that they were able to bring in. So they're asking us to move to the 8th, 10th, 11th, or 12th. We obviously cannot do August. Same thing for March of 2020. They provided alternative dates of the 9th or 10th, and then July of 2020, alternative dates being the 13th to the 18th. So that is the requested action today.
All right. So, Trish?
I understand what the request is and why the Radisson is getting money from the outside to pay for these dates. My concern is that the July 29th date, if we move that up any earlier, that sets all of our administrative internal procedures back anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks in processing all of their documentation, getting things ready. I'm concerned about that because we're already stressing them out with all kinds of reports, data information, coordination, making changes. And so, you know, I just thought we had the 29th secured, but even as a tentative. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what other options there are. I think maybe CDPC needs to really start looking at that GTC meeting request that I had and not try to combine it with the other big facility or let that hold up. But I think if we approve one of these dates, it should be the later date, and we should make explicit information available to the operations so that they are aware and that they can proactively reprioritize their schedules to meet our schedules for the General Tribal Council.
David, then Lisa.
I'm going to make a motion to pick July 11th, which is a Thursday, just because I don't want to pick the 12th because it's a Friday and it interferes with gaming. So that it would be my reason for scheduling the 11th, 6 p.m.
Second.
All right, so for the first July date to be selected, July 11th at 6 p.m. is the motion by David, seconded by Lisa. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Lisa?
I do need to note for the record that I am not available on that date. I had made previous travel plans. The July 29th date, I would have been here. However, with moving it up to the 11th, I am not here, and I'm not able to make adjustments to those travel plans.
All right. Thank you for noting. Is there any other discussion on the motion to approve the date for the July meeting? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? All right. Motion carries. We're looking for an alternative date for March 2020 as well.
Question?
Jenny?
March 10 and 11, is that, what is it, a Sunday, Monday? What does anybody?
The calendar's in your packet on page 112. It's a Monday and a Tuesday, the 9th and 10th. And then just to note, the 10th would be executive session, so we would be asking then for that executive session to start later if we approve that 9th.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve March 9th as the alternate date, tentative at 6 p.m.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Lisa, to approve March 10th. Is that what you said?
9th.
March 9th.
Monday.
On Monday.
Backup date for the annual. Yeah.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on the March 9th date, Ernie?
Just in general, just to clarify, these dates that we're scheduling right now, these are dates that upon this action will be set in stone?
No.
Not knowing, but okay, so we can still cancel these if the agendas change and things like that happen within?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just kind of holding the space.
Okay, just want to make sure that the language and the action is rescheduled, tentatively scheduled.
Oh. Tentatively scheduled.
Tentatively scheduled.
It's still tentative? Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Tentatively rescheduled. Okay, so for the Radisson, that's what I'm concerned about. If it's tentative for them, then...
No. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just so we're not in this situation again.
Well, we may be. I mean, if in a year, you know, if they find out in 2 months that they can hold a conference on the 2020 date that we've tentatively set aside, they may be reaching out to us to say, you know, can you change your date? So it really does depend. So for March, but March, as it's been pointed out, that's the inclement weather date that we approved for January. So it may or may not be needed. So, but yes, we work with them on this logistically for those things. So it is a concern, but they are separate. Related, but separate.
David?
Just knowing that information from the Radisson, is there a certain time frame that they have to notify us so that we can have a backup schedule when we do have to make a change, knowing, letting them know what our backup schedule really is so that they are aware that
yes.
This is a drop dead timeline,
yes.
That we can only make the change?
Yes.
Okay.
We let them know.
Okay.
That's what I'm worried about. All right. So any other discussion on the March 9th date? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. And the third action I'm looking for is alternate date for July of 2020. Dates are the 13th and through the 18th.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to confirm that date versus an alternate date. So we're the buyer. You know, even though we have some time, we approve an annual schedule and we adjust, we prepare according to that annual schedule, as well as with the budget. There's a lot of problems with the budget now. So the issue of accommodating the Radisson for their business is one component. However, it's the nation that is the priority in this case, and I'm sorry that it has to be that. I mean, that we can't find a better way to do this, but the this is a semi-annual, and if you choose that date and then have to move up, now again, you're running into extreme administrative problems, and I just don't think it's appropriate to select an alternative date for the annual, semi-annual, and the budget meetings. Those should be secured dates.
Okay.
And then anything beyond that could be alternative.
Lisa?
So the issue that we have right now with working in the Radisson with their schedule, as Trish pointed out, is the business part, the business aspect of it. And while I understand what you're asking for, this is for July of 2020, so this is for next year's July meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that this year is a little, it's very inconvenient what occurred, but they had the opportunity to bring in, you know, tens of thousands of dollars worth of business, which is what the consideration is. For next year, though, these are the dates that they have now available for us, and those will get locked in because that's all they have. And they know that the annual and the semi-annual have to be done in July and have to be done in January. So if we pick these, I'm not going to say they're confirmed, but they're locked in at this point because there's no other dates for us to go to in that month. and they know that. And I've had those conversations with them. Part of the reason why they're hesitant to do that is because of this. But if we try to say now that we want them locked in, then they're going to back. They're going to go fall back on their own rule, which is they can't confirm for 90 until 90 days from the event, which is what the current process is. The current process is we can't confirm until 90 days before the event. And then it gets into contract issues, and it gets into the room issues. And you know that because you've been dealing that with yourself for your budget mm-hmm. meetings.
Exactly.
So I completely appreciate what you're saying. But in our work with them, you know, I've been meeting with them on a regular basis to try to work this out. And these are the solutions that we're coming up with that accommodates both them and us.
Well, we do pay for the room, just so you know, we don't get it free.
Correct. But.
All right, we're still looking for a motion to select an alternate day in July of 2020 between July 13th through the 18th. David?
I'm choosing the 13th at 6 p.m. It's a Monday.
Second.
Motion by David, second by Lisa. Discussion on the selection of the date. Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you. I believe that concludes that item and our. So we can recess till after lunch and then come back to take care of the executive session.
Okay.
Looking for a motion to recess at 11:43 till when?
1:30. Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by David to recess till 1:30. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you, everyone. All right. Good afternoon. It's 1:39. I'll call this meeting back to order. Looking for a motion to go into executive session at 1:39. Second by Lisa. Second by Brandon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you, everyone. We are now in exec. Ready. We're looking for a motion to come out of executive session at 5:10 p.m. Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. We need to go back to the open session portion of the agenda for appointments. 5A, determine next steps regarding one vacancy for the Oneida Nation Veterans Affairs Committee, ONVAC.
Motion to approve Floyd Hill, the third.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, Lisa seconds.
No, I'm clarifying.
Oh, it's Floyd, a second. Floyd okay. Hill. I just heard second.
I was like,
that's what
I was
going to
do. The second.
Floyd Jr.
Floyd Jr.
He said the third, and I said, no, it's the second. And then he thought we
who's seconding the motion? Brandon. Brandon is seconding the motion to appoint Floyd. Any further discussion on the appointment? Lisa made the motion.
No, Kirby made
it. Or Kirby. Kirby made the motion. Brandon seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item under appointments, determine next steps regarding two vacancies for the Oneida Personnel Commission.
Mr. Chairman.
Lisa.
I'll make a motion to request the secretary to re-notice the vacancy because of ineligible, unqualified, or underqualified applicants per section 105.7-1C2 of the Boards, Committees, and Commissions law.
All right, is there a second?
Okay.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Second by Jenny. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose?
Opposed.
One opposition. Kirby, motion carries. All right, now we can go to the executive session items. Ready for action. First on the report is to accept the Chief Counsel report dated April 4th, 2019.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. There is a subsequent action. Approve the actions listed in the memorandum dated April 10th, 2019 regarding the decision in case of case number 16-C-1217.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up is Audit Committee to accept the February 18th, 2019 regular Audit Committee meeting minutes.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item number two under Audit is to accept the March 21st, 2019 regular Audit Committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The third item under Audit, accept the four-card poker rules of play compliance audit and lift confidentiality requirement.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The last item under Audit, send the child care before and after program billing hotline audit to the April 11th, 2019 BC officers meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Brandon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. C, unfinished business. Number one, enter e-poll results into the record regarding approved job description for 03029 and posting regarding file number 2019-CRPT04-01.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item number two under unfinished business, to accept the update and approve the actions listed in the memorandum dated April 10th, 2019.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Moving on to new business. D1. Complaint. Send complaint 2019-CC-02 to Joint Marketing for review and for a recommendation to be brought back to the May 8th, 2019 regular BC Business Committee meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, number two, defer this topic to finance to bring back a recommendation on next steps at the May 22nd, 2019 regular business committee meeting.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The third item, accept the discussion regarding the applications for one vacancy for the Oneida Nation Veterans Affairs Committee as information.
So moved.
Motion by Jenny. Is there seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item number four, accept the discussion regarding applications for two vacancies on the Oneida Personnel Commission as information.
So moved.
Motion by Brandon. Is there a second?
Okay.
Second by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. And our fifth and final item, approve the final expectations and performance standards for DR 19.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Looking for a motion to adjourn at 5:18.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, everyone.